it is today. I respect him and wish he was sticking around, but I respect him even more for putting his family first.
Any idea who they have in mind for his replacement?
Nope, but I'm hoping the decision is made before Coach retires. The sooner the better. It'll make for a smoother transition to have the two coaches work together for a while. Bob Langley has been solid with coaching picks. Just hope it continues.
That brings me nicely to my next question. It's rumored that Bob Langley might sell a...
Were the roses from Langley?
Why would the owner of your team send me roses? I've never met the man.
I knew exactly whom he meant. He was referring to Bob's son, Michael. The dipshit son you work with, not Bob.
I don't think that's any of your business.
Maybe not, but I'm asking the question.
I held his stare. Yes.
Geisa.
We're at a church, I reminded him.
Are you seeing him?
He asked me to dinner, if you must know.
You'll go out to dinner with him, but not me?
His dinner invitation is to get to know me, not to get inside of me.
That's where you're wrong. I'm just more upfront about it than he is.
How did my pre-interview turn into you asking me questions?
Brody leaned back and folded his arms over his chest. Question for question.
Excuse me?
For every question you ask, I get to ask one.
That's ridiculous.
Not if you want the interview.
Let me guess. All of your questions will be personal?
Only when yours are.
Fine,
I huffed. I just steer clear of personal questions. Perusing the list I had prepared, I skipped the first one that was clearly more personal than professional. The offensive line seems to have become a second-half team. 68% of the scoring has been done in the second half, and the Steel have come from behind in the second half in 4 out of 5 of their wins. What happens in the locker room at halftime that makes the team rally together better? Brody looked pleased with my question. He spent almost a full 5 minutes talking about the halftime changes that Coach Ryan made during previous games. Unlike many quarterbacks, he didn't take credit for the improvements that caused his team to win. Instead, he chalked things up to strong coaching.
My turn, Brody said when I finished scribbling notes. I'm almost afraid to hear it, but go ahead.
If you had to marry one man from Gilligan's Island, which one would you choose?
I laughed. That's your question?
It is.
He had a boyish grin on his face. That's easy, the professor.
Good answer.
Was there really any other logical answer?
You could have picked Mr. Howell. He's rich and old.
My next question was about the expanded definition of the defenseless player penalty. Then it was Brody's turn again.
Name of your first pet?
I actually never had a pet.
Everybody's had a pet at one time or another. Dog, cat, rabbit, snake, lizard, hamster, turtle. Something?
I shook my head. Nope. We traveled a lot on weekends to see my dad's games, so we never had any pets because no one was around to take care of them.
You know I have the urge to buy you a dog now, right? A giant one. Maybe a Newfie or a Great Dane.
Don't you dare. We sat on the roof of that church for almost 2 more hours. Brody's odd line of questioning found some unusual commonalities between the two of us. Both of our mother's middle names were Yvonne. Neither of us liked chocolate, and we both grew up in apartments with street addresses numbered 333. I'd skipped over one particular question, knowing I'd have to answer a personal one of my own. It was the only one left. Last question.
Shoot.
Available or taken? I explained the question, trying not to be personally invested in his answer. Every woman will want to know the answer. He looked me in the eyes when he answered,
neither.
I wasn't prepared for that answer, so I had no follow-up question. I nodded and proceeded to pack my notes. Sitting upright, I readied myself.
Go ahead. Ask your personal question.
Brody stood and offered his hand to help me up. I'll reserve mine for later. We walked 2 blocks up the street to a diner. Brody had said he was going to order in food for us in his suite, so I hadn't eaten all day. My stomach growled as we sat.
What was that?
Brody teased. Shut up. You told me you'd feed me and then took me to church instead. My stomach is allowed to complain.
The waitress did a double take when she came for our order.
Aren't you Brody Easton?
I am.
Oh, my God, she shrieked. I'm a huge fan, but my 11-year-old son, he's a quarterback at his middle school. He thinks you're the greatest.
Thank you. How is his team doing this season?
They've lost every game, but my Joey, he never gets defeated.
Kid takes after me in height. He can barely see over the line anymore, but he has more heart than boys twice his size.
That's good.
He's still got time to grow. But you either have your heart in the sport or you don't. He's halfway there.
He's never going to believe I met you.
Well, how about if we take a picture together and send it to him?
The waitress's eyes bulged with excitement, but her face quickly fell.
I don't have a phone anymore. Bill gets too high with 2 lines, and my son really wanted one. Plus, I'm always here, and I like to be able to reach him when I need to.
How about we use my phone and send it to Joey, then?
Oh, my God! You do that? He would totally flip!
I piped in. I'll take it. You two get together. The waitress beamed as Brody stood and put his arm around her, leaning in. After I snapped off a few photos and checked that they turned out okay, I gave her my phone, and she sent the picture to her son with a cute note. As she started to hand the phone back to me, Brody stopped her.
Actually, would you mind taking a picture of us together?
Sure.
I looked at Brody questioningly. He gave me a sly grin and came around to my side of the table, squatting down so we were at eye level.
You ready?
The waitress asked. Brody leaned in and whispered in my ear,
I'd much rather be eating you than anything on the menu here.
He pulled his head back to catch a glimpse of my expression.
Ready?
He called back to the waitress, who captured a photo of Brody's eyes twinkling as they looked over at my hooded ones. We ordered, and I did my best to pretend I wasn't affected.
Tell me something about you,
Brody said, resting his arm casually along the back of the booth.
Like what?
I don't know. Anything. Tell me something about you that annoys people.
You ask odd questions.
Good thing I don't have your job, then.
I chuckled.
True.
Sipping my soda, I gave his question some thought.
I talk during movies.
So? Everyone talks during a movie at some point.
No, I talk during movies. Mostly it happens when I like the movie. I get excited and need to retell everything that's happening on the screen to the person next to me.
Brody looked amused. So better to take you to a movie you don't like, then?
Well, if I don't like the movie, then I tend to get bored and daydream a bit and I lose track of what's going on. Then I ask loads of questions instead of retelling you the movie.
If you know you do it, and it annoys people, why don't you stop doing it?
I can't help myself. So what do you do that annoys people?
I say what I think.
You sure do.
Does it annoy you?
At first it did. I guess I'm starting to expect it now.
I'm like fungus. I grow on you.
Charming. The hours disappeared while we talked, especially when we argued about football. It was almost midnight by the time we were ready to leave the diner. The waitress brought the bill, and Brody refused to let me pay, even though I'd argued it was technically a business dinner, and the station would pick up the tab. He didn't say anything, but I caught that he left the waitress a tip of at least a few $100. The fact that he didn't want me to notice what he'd done made the gesture that much more meaningful. He hailed a cab, and light late-night traffic had us pulling up in front of my building in less than 15 minutes. Brody told the cabbie to give him a few minutes and walked me into my building. "Thank you for taking the time to let me pre-interview you. It'll actually make me a lot more comfortable on Saturday now that we've done that."
"You're very welcome."
I pushed the button to call the elevator. "And thank you again for dinner." Brody nodded.
"You know, I still have that one personal question left."
I had actually forgotten. Saving the best one for last?
"You could say that."
"Yes." The flutter in my stomach knew what was coming. In a sweet gesture, he brushed the hair from my face and tucked it behind my ear. His hand caressed my cheek and then tipped my chin slightly so I was looking straight into his eyes when he spoke.
"What's it going to take to get you underneath me, Delilah?"
I swallowed. He wasn't teasing to get my attention this time. No, he was dead serious and watching me intently, waiting for an answer. "I like you. You're full of yourself and direct. But despite all that, I actually really enjoy spending time with you. I'm just not looking for a physical-only relationship. I need more than that."
"Like what?"
"I don't know. Dating? Going out together? Exclusivity? I need to spend time with someone, other than just in his bed. Like talking to them during a movie." I forced a smile. "It's just who I am." The normally slow elevator appeared quickly for a change. The doors slid open behind me, and I waited for Brody to say something. But he only nodded. "See you Saturday?" I asked.
"Saturday,"
he nodded. The doors slid closed and carried me up to the 14th floor. But it felt like a little piece of my heart had been left behind. Delilah, Chapter 10. Only 2 days had passed since I'd seen Brody, yet I still couldn't get him out of my mind. Apparently, I wasn't the only one.
"Cute!"
Indy gave an unenthused wave to the guy at the other end of the bar who tipped his drink in our direction. She sighed as she brought her martini glass to her mouth. "But he's no Brody Easton. Can we not go there again? Your interest is bordering on stalkerish." "Well, I guess there's always that guy." She tilted her glass in the direction of an older guy who seriously resembled Dr. Hannibal Lecter from The Silence of the Lambs. He was standing alone in a corner, leering in our direction. And when he caught us looking, his rickety-toothed smile grew ridiculously wide. I would have felt safer if Hannibal had had the leather mask wrapped around his face.
"I'm sure he'd be happy to break the seal on your re-virginized vagina before he eats half your face off."
"Think I'll pass. I do have other opportunities, you know. Michael Langley texted me today."
"Oh, yeah. And did you agree to go out with him yet?"
"I was busy. I didn't have time to text him back yet."
"You're stalling because you want Brody, and you know it."
"Am not."
"Are too." "You're not busy now."
She motioned for the bartender, pointing to her empty glass.
"Go ahead. I'll wait. Text him and tell him you'll go out with him then. If you're not holding out for Brody Easton, then there's nothing stopping you. Your cleanse is just about over anyway."
"I will."
"I'm waiting."
Indy tapped her fingers on the bar. Needing to prove her wrong, I took out my phone and thumbed off a quick response to Michael.
Happy?
I turned my phone in her direction so she could see the word sent on my screen. She snatched it from my hand and read my response.
Thank you. Yet another crazy week. I promise to catch up with you again next week. That is not telling him you'll go out with him. That's pushing him off again for another week.
But I am busy.
How would you have liked me to respond?
She tapped on my keypad and turned the phone in my direction. Luckily, she hadn't pressed send. Her text read, On second thought, I don't think I can wait another week. Dinner on Saturday night? I'm not that forward. I grasped for my phone. She pulled it back, out of my reach. With a huge smile, she said,
You are now.
She hit send. My eyes bulged.
I cannot believe you just did that!
Ignoring me, she ordered us two shots when the bartender returned with her third martini. I wasn't much of a drinker. Two glasses of wine was the limit on our regular Friday night happy hour. If I was being honest, I came for the company and the free finger food. Half of the single people in bars in New York did the same thing. None of us wanted to cook in our tiny kitchens if we didn't have to. I was still pouting when my phone buzzed on the bar. Michael's name flashed on the screen. Turning to Indy, I lifted the shot she'd ordered me and drank. Then I drank hers, too. After shaking off the willies the alcohol left behind, I summoned the courage to read Michael's response.
I was beginning to think you were blowing me off. Your text made my otherwise rotten day bright again. 8 on Saturday?
Maybe Indy was right. I was stalling because of a lingering attraction to a certain quarterback. One that deep down I knew I shouldn't even be tempted to explore. There really was no reason not to start dating again. I sighed.
Okay, maybe you were right. Come again?
I spoke louder. I said, maybe you were right.
Oh, I heard you the first time. I just love to hear you admit it.
Indy and I sat at the bar until almost 11. I was beyond tipsy when she hailed a cab for us, foregoing our usual subway trek home. The driver dropped her first, and I sat in traffic staring out the window in an alcohol-induced daze. A bus pulled up next to me and caught my attention. An old ad was peeling from the side. It had the New York Steel logo along with a picture of Brody's handsome face and read, Easton is back. It must have been a few years old. The alcohol had me making rash decisions. Without thinking, I thumbed off a text.
Delilah, just saw your picture on the side of a bus. Do you like having your face on public transportation?
He responded 30 seconds later. Brody, I like having my face anywhere that makes you think about me. But I'd rather have my face between your legs.
Who said things like that? And why the hell did I like it?
Seriously, the lower half of my body began to tingle.
Delilah, you have a real way with words, friend.
Brody, I have a real way with my tongue. When are you going to give in and let me show you?
Delilah, tempting. But I think I'll stick to men who are interested in more than just my orifices.
Brody, I'm getting hard just because you use the word orifices.
I chuckled out loud. The cabbie looked at me in the rearview mirror, and I held up my phone in explanation. He didn't give a crap.
Delilah. Good night, Brody.
The man could make me laugh and ignite at the same time. It was a combination that my entire body quite liked.
Brody. See you in your dreams.
He most certainly would be.
Saturday afternoon, I was a wreck.
I had the rare one-on-one interview with Brody at 5, followed by a date with Michael at 8. As I headed to the Regency, I wanted to kill Indy for setting up my dinner for this evening.
Nervous?
Nick glanced at me and then back to the road. We were carrying more equipment than we normally would for a locker room interview, so he had picked me up in the station's van.
Does it show?
You've been spinning that pen around in your hand since you got in.
I clutched the pen in my fist to stop myself. I was definitely a nervous fidgeter and had no idea I was even doing it. Sorry.
Doesn't bother me any. But I'm surprised. To me, heading into the locker room would be more nerve-wracking than this sit-down. You always seem so calm, waiting to go in after the games.
I must just be better at hiding it then. Plus, I have a date tonight after the interview. It's been a while. I was on a self-imposed 6-month hiatus from dating.
Well, that explains it then. What time is your date?
8.
Plenty of time. We'll be out of there by 7.
We arrived at Brody's hotel a few minutes early, and he opened the door fresh from the shower. His hair was slicked back, and droplets of water beaded on his ridiculously toned chest. God, I wanted to lick them off. Brody caught me gaping. A knowing grin spread across his gorgeous face. I wanted to smack it off, or kiss it off.
Come on in. Figured Delilah could help me pick out something to wear while you set up.
He shook Nick's hand and then leaned in and kissed me on the cheek.
You look beautiful.
Nick and Brody spoke about where to set up and spent a few minutes talking sports. The man was definitely a charmer, to both men and women. It just came naturally to him. It was part of what made him larger than life on camera. He exuded confidence and charisma. Eventually, he turned his attention to me.
You ready to dress me?
I rolled my eyes. As Brody led the way to his bedroom, Nick yelled,
Don't take as long as you take to pick your own clothes out, or you'll miss half your date.
I walked straight into Brody when he stopped in his tracks.
Date?
Swallowing, I felt like I'd done something wrong. Yes? I have a date tonight after our interview.
What time?
8. He surprised me by not discussing it any further. We walked through the bedroom into the large walk-in closet.
What do you think? Suit or something more casual?
I think casual. A sweater and slacks, maybe.
Go for it.
He extended his arm toward the built-in shelves holding piles of neatly folded sweaters. Fingering through them, I noticed every piece of clothing was folded exactly the same. I guess you have someone who puts away your laundry for you. He walked up close behind me. Very close. I felt the heat from his body. His shirtless, magnificent body.
I do. If I didn't, you'd be sorting through a mess of clothes on the floor.
Trying to pretend his nearness didn't affect me, I focused on the task of picking out his outfit. Reaching up, I grabbed a navy cashmere sweater. How about this? I turned to show him my selection and smacked straight into the brick wall of his chest. He hadn't budged. It was a big closet. Yet there was little room between the shelves behind me and the man in front of me.
He shrugged. If you like it, I'll wear it.
You're easy.
Wish I could say the same about you.
Something tells me if I was, you'd have already lost interest.
Is that what you think? That I only like the chase?
I looked him straight in the eyes. I do. Yes. I think you enjoy the chase. I'm guessing it's a novelty to you these days, that you're normally the chased, not the chaser. He took a step closer to me. I backed up and hit the shelving behind me. Placing one forearm against the wall on either side of my head,
He effectively caged me in. I should have wanted to flee from the feeling, but instead I had the sudden urge to press my body against his. Thankfully, a little self-control still existed in my brain. He lowered his face to mine.
"Who's your date with tonight?"
"None of your business." He leaned in a little closer, so our lips were just inches apart.
"Do you feel what you're feeling right now when you're near him?"
"No." "Maybe."
"Bullshit. Tell me I can kiss you."
He lowered his head and gently ran his nose along my throat. My body was buzzing like a college boy on frat initiation night.
"No."
The word came out barely above a whisper. My voice was thick and strained, clear evidence that he was getting to me. He continued trailing his nose along my skin. The sensual touch left a stream of goosebumps in its wake. When he reached my ear, his voice was edgy and laced with need.
"Tell me I can kiss you. I smell your body getting turned on. Tell me."
My knees were trembling and my mouth open to finally give in. I want him to kiss me so badly. Luckily, Nick's voice broke the moment.
"Brody, can I run a cord from..." "Whoa, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt."
Brody responded without moving.
"Do whatever you need to, Nick."
"Yeah, all right, man,"
Nick said. His footsteps rapidly receded. It was only a few seconds of distraction, but it gave me a chance to snap out of my lust-induced haze. "This is really unprofessional of me." I ducked under his arm and practically ran out of the closet. I spent a few minutes composing myself in the bathroom before joining Nick in the living room. He was almost through setting up.
"Sorry about that. I didn't realize your date tonight was with Brody."
My mouth opened, but the response came from the man who entered the room behind me.
"It's not, but it fucking should be."
I turned, finding Brody wearing the navy cashmere sweater I'd picked out and a pair of well-fitting slacks. The deep blue color brought out the intensity in his eyes, eyes that were boring into me.
"Coach needs to talk to me. I have to jump on a call for a while. Why don't you two make yourselves at home? I'll order some snacks from room service before I get started."
"No problem. Thanks, Brody,"
Nick said.
Then he was gone. For almost 2 full hours. Eventually, I ventured into the back to look for him. It was quiet, no indication that he was still on the phone. I knocked lightly on the bedroom door, but there was no response. So I knocked again. When there was still nothing but silence, I creaked the bedroom door open. Brody was lying in the middle of his king-size bed, sound asleep.
"Brody?"
His eyes opened with a flutter.
"It's the woman from my dreams."
My hands went to my hips.
"What do you think you're doing?"
"I guess I fell asleep."
"Before or after your fake coach's phone call?"
He swung his legs over the side of the bed and sat up. Running his hands through his hair, he said,
"You ready to get started?"
"I've been ready for more than 2 hours."
"Sorry. I guess you'll have to cancel your date for tonight."
Brody was grinning, and I smiled back. But mine wasn't a friendly smile. It was more like a bend over, I'm about to stick my foot right up your ass smile.
"That's okay. We can just skip dinner and go straight to whatever he has planned for after."
Brody's smile fell. Mine grew bigger. 10 minutes later, we were finally sitting and ready to begin the interview. The first few questions were stiff. My annoyance was bleeding through, and his responses were curt. Things started to change around the fourth question,
when we got into a heated debate about statistics. More than an hour and a half of tape rolled, even though we only had to fill a 22-minute segment, after factoring in commercials, for the half-hour feature. We were up to the last question. Available or taken? His answer had been neither during the pre-interview, which I thought was a pretty interesting and accurate description of his dating life. He wasn't taken, but he also wasn't available. Only this time, when I asked the question, his response caught me off guard. Taken. He could see the confusion on my face, but I quickly jumped back into reporter mode. Really? Is this new?
It is.
How new?
So new, she doesn't even know about it yet.
Pardon?
I plan to tell her about our new relationship right after this interview.
Tell her? Not ask her?
Yep. We've been playing cat and mouse for a while. There's been something going on for weeks. But I've been avoiding it because I'm not the best at relationships.
And now that's changed?
It has. She makes me nuts. But I also can't stop thinking about her, so it's time to make it official and take myself off the market to see how things go.
I had no idea how to respond to that, so I wrapped things up. Turning to the camera, I delivered my closing. You heard it here first, ladies. Brody Easton has taken himself off the market. I'm sure there are legions of women devastated by the news. But WNBC wishes the Super Bowl MVP good luck in the game tomorrow, and with his new relationship. This reporter guesses one might be easier for him to manage than the other. Nick turned off the camera. While he packed up the lighting, he said,
Great interview. Edit is going to have a hard time finding things to cut to get the final 22 in the can.
Thanks, Nick. Brody and I helped pack up the rest of the equipment. It was after 9 by the time we were done. Nick glanced at his phone.
Want me to drop you at your date? You're already late.
Thanks, but I sent him a text earlier and postponed.
Nick nodded. Drop you at home?
I'll drop her, Brody said.
Let me help you lug this shit to the van.
I picked up a bag. Brody took it from my hand.
Stay, I got it. I'll be right back.
While he was gone, I rearranged the living room furniture back to how it had been before the interview. Brody came in just as I was finishing setting the throw pillows back on the couch. You should get some monogram throw pillows for the couch, I said. Make it seem less like a hotel and more homey.
When did you postpone the date?
I held one pillow against my chest. After I came out of the closet.
Not after I made you late.
I shook my head. The way I'd felt when I walked out of that closet, I knew going on a date with Michael would have been wrong. Whether I was acting upon them or not, I had feelings for another man. It was wrong to begin a relationship with someone when my thoughts were really with someone else.
You're postponing it indefinitely.
Am I? He nodded and walked around the couch. Reaching for my hand, he looked into my eyes.
I can do exclusive. Hell, the thought of you with anyone else makes me fucking insane. I insist on exclusive. And dating. I'm game for whatever you want to do. The relationship part, I'm probably going to need you to bear with me on. It's been a long time since I've had one. I'll probably fuck up and piss you off a lot, but I'd like to try.
Wow. I wasn't about to mention that I'd been ready to give in to his sex-only arrangement. I guess I'd won the battle of the holdout. By about 30 seconds. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. I'd like to try, too. You're an arrogant ass, but there's something about you I like. He picked up my other hand and brought it to his lips, dropping a sweet kiss on the top.
Awesome. Dinner, then fucking, or fucking, then dinner.
Gee, how is a girl to decide with such titillating choices?
Flip a coin. Heads, you give me. Tails, I take yours. It's a total win-win for you.
He winked.
By the way, I really like when you work tit into our conversation, dirty girl.
I laughed. How about we start with an actual date?
Let's go.
Not so fast.
Brody looked like I'd kicked his puppy. What?
If we're going to do this, let's start it right. You have a game tomorrow.
I want a real date.
How about next weekend?
No way.
Impatient much?
Patience is bitter. It's the fruit that's sweet.
Did you just quote Aristotle?
Maybe.
He yanked the hand he was holding, pulling me against him hard.
Dinner. Wednesday night. I'll pick you up at 7.
Okay.
Now kiss me already, goddammit.
I didn't have time to respond. In a heartbeat, his lips were on mine. His arms wrapped possessively around me, pulling me snugly against him. My knees went weak. My heart was pounding in my chest, and I would have sworn there was a mass of butterflies flapping their wings in the pit of my stomach. With a groan that echoed through our mouths and vibrated down my entire body, he licked my lips and nudged my mouth open. His tongue aggressively pursued mine and then took everything I gave. The desperation and intensity of the kiss was like nothing I'd ever felt before. My hands dug into his hair as he grabbed a handful of mine and tugged my head back further to where he wanted me. I whimpered, feeling desire flow from him and wrap around me. I moaned when I felt his hard-on pushing up against my stomach. Holy shit. We stayed like that for a long time, grabbing and groping, pulling and kneading. When he finally released my mouth, he sucked on my bottom lip and released a hungry groan.
Overnight bag. Bring a bag Wednesday. Because there's no way I'm letting you go again.
Brody. Chapter 11. You know, when I was a kid, they had real football players. They wore leather helmets and didn't have bye weeks. What kind of a sissy athlete needs a week off in the middle of the season? When you were a kid, they kept score by chiseling X marks into stone. I tossed a jersey to Grouper. Next week was a designated throwback week, when the team wore replica uniforms from years back. I'd ordered an extra for Grouper the Third. Tell Guppy I signed it with a washable marker this time. Don't want his mother getting another smelly boy call from the school. Grouper held it up and sighed nostalgically. I remember this uniform. This was from the non-pussy player period. Bite me, old man. Marlene was sitting on the edge of her bed, a floral swim cap on her head. She was scribbling some notes on her notepad while the closing credits of The Price is Right rolled on the screen behind her. Guess I'm late today. Going swimming, Marlene? I leaned in and kissed her cheek. She looked up at me blankly. Are you the bus driver? No, I'm Brody, remember? She still looked confused. I used to live next door. Recognition registered.
Willow's Brody.
She looked around me.
Is she with you today?
Not today, Marlene.
She didn't want to come?
I hated when she asked me these questions. Sometimes it was easier when she didn't remember who I was. She's working on an art project up in my cabin. You know how she can get when she's working. That seemed to pacify her, so I changed the subject to one of her favorites. How did you do today on your show? She looked down at her notepad.
I would have won the whole shebang. The woman who was in the finale, Catherine, her name was, only had one oar in the water.
They can't all be like you, or it wouldn't be much of a game, would it?
That Barker's microphone is too skinny. I don't know what he's trying to prove.
I chuckled. Yeah, I'm not sure on that one either. Marlene took the remote off her nightstand and flicked the TV off. What time is swimming? I didn't realize they changed the schedule.
11?
I looked down at my watch. It was 12:05. Marlene and I shot the shit for a while, and eventually Shannon walked in, carrying a small, clear plastic shot glass containing a few pills. She handed them to Marlene with a cup of water. Are they running late for swimming? I asked.
Nope, swimming isn't until Wednesday at 2.
I glanced sideways at Marlene's swim cap, then back to Shannon. She shrugged.
She got upset when I tried to take it off of her this morning. I told her swimming wasn't until tomorrow. She told me I had shit for brains. Right, Marlene?
Marlene nodded and handed her back the empty pill cup. She spoke as if she were verifying the time.
That's right. Shit for brains, that one.
Shannon gave me a thumbs up and a wink as she left the room. An hour later, Marlene let me help her remove the rubber swim cap. The damn thing was so tight it left a red indent across her forehead where the edge cut off her circulation. I'm going to get going. Late practice this afternoon. She nodded.
You kiss that granddaughter of mine and tell her not to work too hard.
I will.
Delilah. Chapter 12. After I'd returned from a 2-hour session in the editing room, the receptionist walked into my office carrying a tall glass vase full, not of flowers, but of water. The puzzled look on her face matched mine, until I saw that the vase wasn't actually empty. A single blue betta fish was swimming around, and the floor was lined with a layer of blue and yellow-colored gravel. She handed me the small florist card, glanced at the other vase on my desk, the one full of sticks, and walked out, shaking her head. I unsealed the card.
I named him Brody. You're welcome.
I smiled, remembering our conversation about me never having a pet before. For a man who told me women didn't really want bullshit flowers and sweet gestures, what they really wanted was a good banging against the wall, I was pretty sure he was giving me both today. Later that afternoon, I was viewing a replay of my interview with Brody on my laptop. The sound of his gritty voice and the confidence he exuded was a little like foreplay for our date tonight. I was anxious, excited, and nervous all at once. Closing my eyes as he spoke, I leaned back in my chair and visualized him standing before me, that commanding voice telling me to undress.
Unbutton your shirt. Take off that bra.
God, even imagining it stirred a feminine place in me.
Lift that skirt. Higher, Delilah. You know what I'm going to do to you.
A knock on my office door startled me, and I jumped out of my seat. Shit.
Hey, sorry, didn't mean to scare you. I thought you saw me.
Michael, hi. Guess I was lost in my work. I had texted at the last minute to cancel our date the other night, and he'd been very understanding. I hadn't exactly lied when I told him an interview was running a few hours later than planned and asked for a rain check. Last night, he'd texted me to cash in on the rain check I'd promised, and not knowing how to respond, I just never responded.
Just stopped in to say hello. See how you were doing.
I'm good. Busy. Sorry I didn't text back yet. My schedule has just been so crazy lately. His eyes zoned in on the roses he sent, displayed on the file cabinet behind me. Then he took note of the vase full of sticks on the corner of the front of my desk. He looked justifiably puzzled. They added something to my otherwise drab office, perhaps a splash of crazy. Yet he didn't question the oddity.
Would you be up for grabbing a bite for dinner tonight?
I actually have plans for tonight. Sorry.
Work again?
Michael was watching me, waiting for a response.
It felt odd to tell him that I was going on a date. Probably because of my gnawing guilt that the date was with the guy I'd canceled on him the other night because of. So I lied. Yes, I need to reshoot part of an interview I did. A look of relief passed over Michael's face.
Man, being the boss around here doesn't earn any perks, does it?
I guess not. I tried to laugh it off.
One night next week, then?
I nodded, leaving things very noncommittal. Thankfully, my phone rang. Excuse me a minute. I was relieved to get out of the conversation and answer my office line. Delilah Maddox? Brody's sexy voice growled through the phone.
Did you bring an overnight bag to work?
I looked up at Michael. He was still standing in my doorway. I did.
You actually don't need anything in it. I'll pick you up in an hour. You'll get your date. Then I'm going to give you my own version of those sweet gestures you like so much.
I cleared my throat. Okay, that sounds good.
Is someone standing there?
Yes, that's right.
Are you wearing a skirt?
Yes.
Take off your panties before I pick you up.
An
hour, Delilah. No panties. I'm salivating at the thought of tasting you.
The phone disconnected, and I was left sitting there like an idiot, my body buzzing and my mouth hanging open.
Are you okay?
Michael looked concerned. Yes. I blinked myself back to the moment. Sorry about that.
I'll let you get back to work. Call you next week?
That sounds great. Sure. Maybe by then, I'd grow a backbone. In the 10 minutes I stood in the bathroom stall, I'd taken my underwear off and put it back on 3 times. The outer door opened again, and 2 women whose voices I didn't recognize walked in, chatting. This was ridiculous. I decided to rise to the challenge. I balled the black lacy thong I was wearing in my palm, then stuffed it into the zippered compartment of my purse. Stepping out, it felt liberating. I washed my hands and headed to the exit of my office complex. Through the glass front doors, I saw Brody leaning against his car. He was swinging the keys around casually and watching the people come and go from the building. I was an equal mix of excited and nervous as I stepped onto the sidewalk. When he caught sight of me, his face curved into a delicious grin. He folded his arms across his chest and watched me intently as I walked toward the car. The street was filled with people walking in all directions, yet he didn't seem to notice a single one of them. It was the craziest thing, the way he was looking at me, watching every move I made with desire on his face, was actually turning me on a little. My body became aroused without a single touch. I was suddenly starving, but it definitely wasn't for dinner. He extended a hand to me as I neared, then abruptly tugged it hard, pulling me against him. Surprising me, he proceeded to kiss me, right there on the street. And what a kiss. My brain was short-circuited when he finally released my mouth. Damn. His hands slid down and locked around my waist, keeping me flush against him.
We could skip the date.
Even though my body wanted nothing more than to do exactly that, I said, I can't make it that easy for you now, can I?
You've done nothing but make me hard since the day I met you.
He pulled me even tighter against him. I literally felt his sincerity, pushing against my stomach. So, where are we going?
Dinner in a museum.
Museum?
You said you loved them the other day.
For a guy who doesn't believe in bullshit flowers and sweet gestures, you're pretty damn good at them.
Even though we went to a small restaurant that was off the celebrity grid, between the time the valet took the car and when we were seated at a quiet table in the corner, two people stopped us.
Sorry about that.
It's fine. I'm used to it. Only I don't remember the wives of the men who stopped my dad looking at him the way that last guy's wife was ogling you.
I met your dad once.
You did?
Yep. Training camp my first year on the team. He took me aside, and we talked for about a half hour. He used to come the first day of every season.
What did you talk about?
He told me if I ever went near his daughter, he'd crush my nuts in a vice.
My eyes widened. Really?
Nah, I'm just screwing with you.
I laughed. I did that a lot around Brody. He had an uncanny ability to change my mood in an instant. One minute I would be laughing. The next I could be practically panting from the extreme sexual tension. After we had ordered wine and appetizers, another excited fan interrupted our conversation and asked for an autograph. It was mid-football season, and I was having dinner with the starting quarterback of the number 2-ranked team.
Does it bother you? Fame?
Not usually. I generally don't do anything in public that I care about being interrupted. Believe it or not, I don't go out too much.
I've seen you photographed with plenty of women.
Most of that was from events, obligations for sponsors or the team. I actually can't remember the last time I had a date like this, without it being something I was required to attend.
Why is that? I'm guessing it isn't from lack of opportunity.
I like to keep my focus on the game.
So you've never had a serious relationship?
Brody leaned back into his chair and glanced around the restaurant. I've had a relationship, yes.
Just one?
Just one.
A muscle in his jaw flexed. Clearly, this conversation made him uncomfortable. But I wanted to know more about him.
What happened?
It ended.
I gathered that much, considering we're sitting here, and you've been trying to get me to sleep with you for weeks.
Brody's eyebrows shot up. Why does it always feel like I'm being interviewed when we're together?
Probably because you don't volunteer much information. The waitress stopped by our table.
Can I take these plates for you?
Brody nodded. That would be great.
When she disappeared, he tried to change the subject. So, journalism?
I wasn't letting him off the hook so easily. I sipped my wine and ignored his blatant attempt. So, you have had a relationship before?
Yes.
How long ago did it end?
I don't know, Delilah. I haven't kept a calendar. 4 years ago, maybe.
So only casual dating since then?
Yes.
Interesting.
Not really. Is it my turn to ask the questions yet?
By all means. I waved my hand as if I were giving him the floor. He scratched his chin for a moment.
If you knew you were going to be stranded on an island for a month and could only bring 3 things, what would you bring with you?
I laughed. You could have just brought up football or politics to change the subject.
I could have, but I really want to know if you'd pick a vibrator as one of your 3 items.
You think if I was going to be stranded on an island and I could only bring 3 things, I'd bring a vibrator?
Guess I'm kind of hoping you would.
Don't think that would be on my short list.
What would be?
I don't know. Off the top of my head, matches, water, and a fishing net.
Smart choices. I'm disappointed. But at least you won't starve.
Your questions are bizarre. You know that, right?
Maybe. But your answer just told me a lot about you. Like I just learned you're practical. You know you can get yourself off with your hand, so you won't waste one of your 3 things on an unnecessary toy.
He tapped his finger to his temple and grinned.
Good thinking.
Let me ask you something. If we eventually have sex, Brody interrupted,
if,
When, you know,
I fuck you.
Yes, Matt. Will you stop talking about sex so much afterward?
He leaned forward. Not a fucking chance. I'm gonna bet that once I'm inside of you, it's only going to get worse.
Okay, then. God, it's warm in here. I needed to change the subject, or this date was going to end very soon. Taking a cue from Brody, I asked, "If you could have your pick of any Disney princess, which one would it be?"
Brody smiled. "Nice. Let me think about that one."
He was quiet for a moment, then surprised me. He was taking my question seriously.
"Definitely not Sleeping Beauty. She lies around sleeping all day, waiting for some schmuck wearing tights to come kiss her."
That's not exactly how I would have summed her up, but okay, continue.
He rubbed his chin. "Snow White's voice would annoy the shit out of me. Plus, I'm 6'2", and she's into short guys." He paused. "I'm not sure I know any other princesses. Wait, no. That chick from Aladdin is hot. Or the Little Mermaid. But can a mermaid spread her legs? And is she even a princess?"
The rest of the evening continued the same way. We asked each other ridiculous questions, and the answers actually revealed a lot about each other. I started to think maybe I should throw one oddball question into my interviews from now on. After Brody had paid the bill, we waited outside for the valet to bring his car around. There was a crowd of people talking, and I noticed he steered us away from them and turned his back so as not to call attention to himself.
"Favorite position?" he asked.
"Easy. Quarterback, of course. I'm a daddy's girl."
He leaned in, whispering in my ear. "I meant, favorite position naked."
Oh. He was actually waiting for a response. "I'm not sure. Never really gave it any thought." I swallowed. "What about you?"
He took my hands in his and brought them together behind my back. Capturing both my wrists in one of his large hands, his other lifted to my face and brushed a lock of hair from my cheek. "On top. Doesn't even matter how. I've just had an ache to be on top of you since the day we met. As much as I'd love to watch you ride me, I think on top is what I like best with you. And probably missionary. Because for some reason, there's nothing more I want to do than watch your face as I sink deep inside of you."
It wasn't the most romantic thing anyone had ever said to me, yet I felt it everywhere, even in my chest. "Jesus, Brody."
He brushed his lips against mine. "Our museum trip is going to be a quick one."
The tenderness of his touch, combined with the rawness of his words, left me with a yearning I'd never experienced before. I leaned in, our mouths again lightly joining, and let my words vibrate against our lips. "Let's skip the museum." When we pulled up to the hotel that was his football season home, Brody waved off the valet and jogged around to the passenger side of the car. He extended his hand to help me out.
"In for the night, Mr. Easton?"